So we're going to talk about learning to persevere through suffering while glorifying God. And we're going to talk about sheep. First off, sheep sometimes act bad and wander from God's path for their lives. Now, just to be fair, I did get this information from the New Women's Devotional Bible, Fee Sonderman. And notice that I underlined the word wander. Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. The good shepherd relentlessly searches for any wayward sheep. If the sheep refuse to follow, the good shepherd has to take drastic actions. So I've got that underlined too. The shepherd must break the sheep's leg and carry it to help it learn total dependence. Tough love breaks the sheep to make sure it always follows the good shepherd. Okay, so we're sheep, right? God's our shepherd. Has anybody here ever wandered like a bad sheep? Yes. And has God ever taken drastic actions with you to help you to learn to depend on Him? Okay, that's why we're talking about sheep, because we are sheep. Jacob was a sheep. And you can read his story about, we always tell about Jacob wrestling with the angel in Genesis 32, 22 through 32. So there's that word wandered. Jacob wandered after fleeing home to escape his brother Esau's wrath. So we're not going to go into all the stories and everything, but Jacob basically stole Esau's birthright. Esau was the firstborn, they were twins, and he stole the birthright in a deceitful way. And actually, the name Jacob means deceitful. That's why he was named Jacob. So then later, after he fleed his home, Jacob was alone at Jabbok, and God came in the form of a man or an angel, whatever you want to call it, to change Jacob into a different person. So the drastic action from his wandering was that wrestling match that he had with this angel man from dusk until dawn. And Jacob would not give up due to his willfulness. So God touched Jacob's hip so that he'd walk with a limp the rest of his life. Anybody here ever feel like you've been walking with a limp for the rest of your life? I do. I have several things that cause me to limp. How many here that feels like you're walking that way, are you thankful to God for that limp?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Because I could see that God is using those trials or tribulations to work on me in my life. And by the way, he did reconcile with Esau. They did get together, they did make amends and everything. So the wrestling match was worth it for several reasons. He reconciled with Esau, but the main reason is Jacob now is a changed man. He's no longer a deceiver, which is what the word Jacob means. So you can choose your response to God's drastic actions. Are you going to be bitter and turn away from God? Are you going to cling to God like Jacob did in Genesis 32, 26? I will not let you go unless you bless me, which sometimes can be our will fighting against what God is trying to do. Not that God didn't want to bless him, but Jacob was very fighting with his will. That's why the wrestling match lasted all night. Or are you willing to climb on the shepherd's shoulder and let him carry you? So when we go through trials, tribulation, we feel broken. We are broken. We're like a sheep wandering from the shepherd who needs his leg broken. Sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention, to give everything to God, and to really trust him, to build more trust in him. So breaking. God breaks us to make us better. He doesn't do it just for, what is it, sadism or something like that. He is doing it for a reason. He can break our heart so our heart will make room for him. He can break our will so that we can discover what his will is. He can break our strength or our physical strength because his strength is then made perfect in our weakness. So you know this verse from 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, when you've gone through trials, valleys, dark times, how many of you can truly say that you gloried in that infirmity? Hard to do, right? We can say it all we want to, but it is hard to do. Well, that's what Paul is talking about when he was going through dark times and infirmities, that he would rather glory in those infirmities. And 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure. That's even more. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Pretty strong words, right? Can we do it? Can we live it? So we're going to talk about some examples of good that has come from trials. And of course, we all know this verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we're going to talk about a few people, and then we'll also talk about Bible characters, and we're going to talk about some more Bible characters next week too. Fanny Crosby, she caught a really bad cold when she was only 6 weeks old. An imposter doctor, now that is weird. Why was somebody even acting like they were a doctor? I'd like to know. But anyway, he treated her with the wrong medication and caused her to go blind. She did not give her heart to God till she was 30, but she had always been a poet, a poetry writer. So she started taking her poetry, changed it into songs, and these are just some of the songs that we sing in church that Fanny Crosby wrote. To God be the glory, praise him, and tell me the story of Jesus. So see how something bad ended up being turned to good. Now let's look at Helen Keller. A little bit similar story. She became blind and deaf after an intense illness when she was only 19 months old. So she was already 19 months, so almost 2 years old. So she had already started to say some words, already had heard some things, and then lost it all, blind and deaf. And this quote from Helen Keller is, everything has its wonders, even darkness and silence. And I learn whatever state I may be in, therein to be content. And that sounds familiar, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the next verse, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. That means even Tennessee.
Yes.
How about Joni Erickson Tada? She was 17 years old, had a diving accident, and broke her neck and severed her spinal cord. She became a quadriplegic, which means that she had no movement at all from her neck down. She's still that way. And she shared her message via radio, interviews, and books about how to find peace and joy through suffering. She also is an inspirational painter, author, and speaker. So I actually have one of the Joni Erickson Tada books where it talks about God's creation and how beautiful it is, and it's got her paintings in it. It's pretty neat. How many in here have heard her speak on the radio before? She used to have a regular, I don't think it's on anymore, but she had a regular program like every day. I think it was just a quick, short little program. Very inspirational. Okay, here's a Bible example, and we could go into so many Bible examples. I mean, there's no shortage of those. So we've already talked about a couple. We'll talk about Joseph now. We'll talk about a couple more next week. So Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by his own brothers when he was only 17 years old. He was wrongfully imprisoned for 13 years. And we all kind of know the story of Joseph. We're not going to go into everything that took him there, but he was not guilty, and he was thrown in the dungeon in prison for 13 years. But even through everything he went through and all those trials, he ended up saving Egypt and the surrounding lands from famine by the time he was age 30. You know, I found it interesting. I'm just I'm not really a numbers person, but I thought it was interesting that Joni Erickson Tada broke her neck and spinal cord at 17. Joseph was sold into slavery at 17. Fanny Crosby came to the Lord at 30. Joseph saved Egypt and the surrounding lands from famine at age 30. And Jesus started his ministry at age 30. I just thought, well, this is kind of interesting. Those numbers are kind of, not that there's any connection with some of them, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. Then Joseph had some sons, and names meant a lot back in Bible times. And he named one son Manasseh, which means God has made me forget all my trouble. He named his other son Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. So he was very aware that, you know, yes, he lost some years out of his life. Yes, it was terrible to be in the dungeon. Yes, it was terrible to be sold by his own brothers, thrown into a pit, and then they were going to kill him first. At least they sold him into slavery because God had a plan. And then he saved the country from famine. So he realizes that God did make him fruitful, even though he had to go through that suffering. So that's something we need to realize. God isn't torturing us just to torture us. He chastises us because we are his children and he loves us. So we have thrown around a lot of terms for trials. So this pathway is standing firm in trials. But we've talked about valleys. We talked about Pastor Dainsworth's message about being in the valley. Some other words we've used are troubles, difficulties, hard times, and darkness. So I'm going to refer to another sermon we heard recently. Oh, and I want to show you this. This is the painting we've talked about the first two sessions. Are you sure you want to be in this session? Because last time you wanted to be in the other session. I'm just making sure you're in the right room. You're okay staying in here? Okay. Because last time we moved you to the other room because you were in the wrong place. So this is the painting that's in my husband and my office. And maybe some of you have it up on your all walls. I know a lot of Christians that do. You can buy it at any Christian bookstore. And it's Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And I know it's hard to see. Oh, on here, you can see it pretty well.
Where is that located?
I don't know. I mean, it's just a print that they sell in Christian bookstores. I don't know if it's even any certain place. But the thing that struck my husband is this guy that's standing here. He's got his hands in his pockets. Oh, I've got pockets in this dress. He's got his hands in his pockets. But look at what's around him. Because he trusts in God, his rock. So a picture's worth a thousand words. So I think that's why people are so connected to this picture. Because we all go through storms of life. That's another thing I could put on those terms, storms of life. I don't know if I had that one on there or not. Did I? Nope. But I could have added storms. So there's a storm, but yet we know that God is our lighthouse. He's our rock. He's our comforter. He's our firm foundation. If he's got it, God's got it. So we don't need to worry.
Is there a title for that?
No. I mean, that's the whole thing right there, and there's no title.
I just look at like that, so I found with a patient there.
I looked it up to get this picture on the internet, and I typed in something like painting of Psalm 18:2, and it popped right up. So that's how I found the picture. Psalm 18:2. Yeah. You can do that, and then maybe you can click on one of them that says it's sold somewhere. Figure it out that way, because I don't know the name of it. So this is another sermon that Reverend Michael Maupin on August 27th preached here at CLC, Developed in Darkness. Who all heard that message? It was very good. And just like the Valley message from Pastor Dainsworth, I'm like, oh, wow, they're preaching about standing firm in trials again. And I took some notes and, oh, they're helping me, aren't they? So there's a few points he brought up. Darkness is the absence of light, but it's not the absence of God, right? And God is Lord over the darkness because in the beginning, God took dominion over the darkness. Remember, over the face of the earth, there was darkness, and he said, let there be light. So we don't have to worry. God can bless, save, and heal in darkness as well as light. Now, my personal salvation story is I was going down, flushing down the toilet, getting worse and worse and worse. My life was, I was in high school, I was a senior or getting ready to be a senior, and my life was getting out of control. And that's, for a lot of people, they have to go through rough times or hit rock bottom. And that's where God finds them and saves them, because he's the good shepherd. He finds us if we wander, if we're not in the right place. He might have to break us and let us go through some hard times, but he's going to take care of us. Jesus speaks peace in the storm and hope in the darkness. So we need to make sure to invite him into our storms. Now, a lot of people, some people only cry out to God when they're going through rough times. If that's the only time they're crying out to God, God might let them go through some more rough times, right? Because they're at least crying out to him. But the thing we need to remember as Christians is we should be crying out to God all the time, number one. Have a personal relationship with God every day. But number two, don't get so overwhelmed by the storm. I mean, think about this picture. Don't get so overwhelmed by it that you're not reaching out to God, because you need to invite God into that storm. He's already there, but he wants your heart to be open to him and to his help. So Psalm 35, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And Job 23:10. Now, Job is a Bible character we could talk a lot about, you know, about him going through rough times. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold. Do you ever think of yourself as gold? To me, it seems unbelievable. We're dust. We're made from the dust of the earth. But it says that once we are tried, we will come forth as gold. And that's a promise in the Bible. So, you know, rejoice in tribulation, right? You're going to come forth as gold. God knows what he's doing. You just have to trust him. So thank God for his care for us, even when we don't understand his methods, because his ways are higher. So Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. I love this slide. Pray and praise. I found this picture when I was doing Google images for the slides. Praising God in advance restores your faith and brings peace. Easier said than done, maybe, but we talk about it in church. We do it. Sometimes the pastors will admonish us. Praise him for the victory now, as if you already have the victory. That changes, I think, every cell in your body. I think that it brings about positivity. It increases our faith. It shows God that we trust him. He does know our hearts, but he still loves our praise, and we love to praise him. So praising him in advance for the healing, praising him in advance for the horrible thing you're going through, that is just good for everybody around you. It's good for you. It's good for God. It's just, it's the kind of outlook that he wants us to have.
You know, sister, I have a sister that calls me and she always wants me to pray for something. And I said, you know the recipe. Praise the Lord for what you need, for what you want, and what is happening. So praise the Lord and give him thanks. Don't ask him for anything. Just praise him for what he has already done.
Very good.
Kind of like planting the seed of faith. Because truly it's like, you know, the Lord is going to give it to you. And we ask the Lord, but we should go to him and sacrifice or praise.
Yes. Amen. Great advice for your sister.
Before we say, Lord, I need this, we should praise the Lord.
Yes. Amen. That's great. And then next week, we're going to talk about comfort for yourself and how to comfort others through scripture. We'll use a couple more Bible examples. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm probably going to give you a whole list of scriptures. I've been accumulating them over the last 2 months. There's so much comfort in the scripture. I mean, there's so many of them that talk about comfort when you're going through hard times. And so I'm going to go through all these. Pray for me this week, because I have to have the handout to Chris Sims by Tuesday, end of day Tuesday. But I'm going to go through all these scriptures and try to break them maybe into some sort of category, even though they all fall under encouragement for rough times, and break them up, and I'll print them all out for you. So if you're going through this, there's scriptures you can refer to get strength from. Thank God for his word.
Yes.
10:23. This is the first time I've ever finished early. Are you proud of me? I've been trying really hard to have time for the questions. So now we got some questions. So I hope you're all ready to talk and wake up before we go in there and praise the Lord in our circumstances. Okay, so the first one, this is on your handout too at the bottom. Describe a time you wandered from God. How did you sense him relentlessly seeking you? Anybody like to share a story about a time you wandered and you could sense Jesus relentlessly seeking you? Go ahead, Josh.
So I grew up in church. Parents took me to the church, insist on all that stuff. That in my later high school years, of course, I went my own way. It was almost for probably, I don't know, probably 10 years. It felt like no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, or I was in places that I didn't need to be, and I was doing things that I didn't need to be, I still felt, felt off all the time. Even just in the back of my mind, I still felt no matter what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. Thanks for sharing that. So that made me think about my younger brother. My younger brother is not in church anymore. And when he got saved, God used him mightily. Does anybody know someone that you think the Lord has called them maybe into the ministry and they're running? Kind of like Jonah. Jonah's another example. Okay, well, I think this about my brother, and I know some other people that are like that. So he was about maybe 10 or 12 years old when he got in church, and I won't go into everything, but he was used mightily. He wasn't in church very long, but he went to camp meeting for the very first time, and he would stand up on the chairs and pray for the other kids, and they'd get the Holy Ghost. And he's had at least, that he's told me about, two visions. This is at that young age, just coming to the Lord. He had visions, and they were very meaningful visions. And he told me something, this is similar to what Josh said. I asked him one time, I said, how can you sleep at night? I mean, I'm not so blunt anymore, maybe, but because it's been decades now. But he's like, I can't. People come out of the woodwork, you know, just to tell me about the Lord and to say they're praying for him. You know, God doesn't give up. He is relentless because he loves us.
Yes.
So he can't get away, and he sees what's going on in this world. And I'm praying for him and his wife. And his wife even told him once, she said, I'll go to whatever church David wants me to go to. So she would go, so he hasn't told his wife how to be saved, any of his kids or grandkids how to be saved. And it's like, time is running out, brother. So pray for him. His name is David. I have so many Davids in my life, it's not even funny. And this is really freaky, and don't judge me for this, but my little brother David and my husband David, weirdly, I didn't even notice it till this happened, I guess they look alike. Because the first time we went to Central Illinois and went out to eat with my little brother and his wife, the waiter came up to the table and the first thing he said was, boy, you could tell you two are brothers. And we're all like, they're not. We're brother and sister. No, you're kidding me. So my Dave looks like an older of my younger brother Dave, I guess. But so don't judge me for that, because I certainly did not do that on purpose. Let me tell you that. Anybody else?
They always said that brothers marry a sister, someone that looks like their sister, and the sister married someone that looks like their brothers.
Oh, really?
Their favorite brothers and sisters.
Oh.
I have two brothers that they marry someone that looks just like me.
Oh, wow. Huh. Now I'm always
that's
heard
what he said.
Guys.
My girlfriend looks just like you.
That's funny. Now, I always heard that guys usually marry someone that resembles their mother.
Mothers. Well, I was like a mother to the mothers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You prize them when they raised them. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to say about that first question about wandering and feeling the Lord seeking you?
I have the opposite. I went to college. And I went to college far away from Mo. But I always have that verse, I told you to be strong and courageous. Don't dismay because Jehovah God will be with you wherever you go, Joshua 1:9. And so I always had that verse in my heart. And even I went far away from school, I always did my devotional first thing in the morning, every single day, diligently. And then later on, I went to United States, and I went by myself, but I knew I was not going by myself because I just felt like that the Lord was with me everywhere I went. So regardless of wherever I went, I knew the Lord was with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't depart from the Lord. Even though I have friends from college and things, I always kept the word of the Lord inside of me and continue. Mm-hmm. So I have friends that today says they are serving the Lord because of the testimony that they saw while I was in college. We met in college too. So I have girls that have been filled with the Holy Spirit and they're all in other states, and they have called me to say, I'm so glad I found you, but I want you to know that that seed that you planted, praise the Lord for that. And now I serve the Lord with all my heart, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that itself is just gives me rejoice.
Yes, yes. I understand what she's saying, because when I was in high school, my junior and senior year, I was getting pretty bad with my best friend, Ginger. And Ginger and I have been friends all these years. She lives in Colorado, near Denver. And lately, our phone calls, we talk maybe just a couple times a year, but for hours, you know what it's like. And she keeps bringing up how much she admires my Christian walk. And I've been praying for her and her husband and her kids all these years. And I can see her starting to come that way. So thank you, Jesus. That is such a blessing. Thanks for sharing. Let's look at the second question. How has God broken you? And you can give a story about how you've been broken physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and what was the result. So hopefully it wasn't your leg like a lamb, but how has God broken you, and what has been the result? Brother Freeman.
I remember my grandfather on National Day. Seated 3 years old, his playing praise was sound, and I had slaughtered baked by the candy cane, the whole people having traces. And she had to pop on and clear the water from. I stayed there with candy cane, and I was able to recognize it. The right by Jesus, we will see Paul the dog. It was there. Well, then I took that candy cane, I was out, hooked her by the arm, and I said, here, see, here. You see here. You know, I swept my fingers. Yeah, I need to that jicky. Won't do that for the trap while you know, but now. You have 35, 40 minutes my friend for that. The preacher out and take it home. He was sitting in the recliner and see what my own brother came at here. Lost over to him. He'd been out of church for a while, looking for the orange. And said, here she is. We looked at me like, well, he said, yeah. I didn't tell him that.
She was listening. She was only 3 years old, but she'll remember that her whole life. And I would like for us, he's talking about Tessa and Jude, which is her fiance, right? Let's pray for them right now. They both have been up to the altar. They've touched the Lord. We're not sure where they are this morning. Hopefully they're okay. But let's pray for them because they just moved to Tennessee, or to this part of Tennessee. And they've been coming here faithfully to class, but they're not here this morning. And I do have a burden for them. We'd like for them both to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to get established here at CLC. And now that they've moved here, God moved them here for a reason, right? It's like Ian. We need to pray for Ian, too. That's Cindy's grandson, Ian. So let's pray for Ian and Tessa and Jude just for a few minutes here.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we love you so much, God. I want to ask you, God, to touch Tessa and Jude and Ian, God. Touch their hearts, Lord. Bring them to your sense of your truth, God. Fill them with your spirit, God. Help them to be ready for your coming, God. Lift them us up and minister to them, God. In Jesus' name, be with them, God. Be all seen. In Jesus' name, we trust you, God, and we give them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Trump. Anybody else? Brother Freeman, you have something else?
I don't know where I heard either coordinator, but this man's name, the violence military is me.
I couldn't hear you. What?
I said, I don't know if I read it or heard it, but
oh, there's always sunshine after the storm. Yes, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's right. That's right. And a rainbow, too. Yes. Let's look at the third question. What difficulties have you faced in the past, and how did God use those times to shape you? You know, hold on one second. I pray all the time. Lord, mold me and make me to be what you want me to be. So, you know, God is taking care of us with these trials, but we are also asking for that. If we have a sincere heart, we're asking for God to mold and make us. Brother Elijah.
So, I mean, let's kind of go back to the second question to what you had, is I've been through a lot. Look, and I'm not like trying to bring will for trials, but will of God. Like, because I was a lot like Brother Josh for my teenage years. I kind of walked away from the Lord, and then he sent me some physical stuff, but he kept keep warm my life that were grounded in faith, Lord. So I came back to the Lord. He opened and restored me. And then even after that, it's like I had other physical issues, pain, surgery, mental illness. She had depression, anxiety, but and the Lord has delivered me through all of that. He's kept me, and I turn around and I look back at everything that's been going on, and I just realize that I have a much deeper trust and understanding of his love than I ever had before. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm alive during it, but, you know, I see that he's kept me closer to him, drawing me closer to him, to everything. I like talking about the whole of sheep. It's like when I wandered away, you know, it took something here, breaking my word, not literally, but other ways. And I just think about the lessons I've learned through all those situations, the trust I've gained, Christ, and, you know, empathy and understanding that I've been able to have for other people. Going deep in, it's just really, like, just the result of that, I guess, is just, you know, seeing how beautiful his love is for us, how much deeper it is than I ever understood as a child, as a teenager, in all I wanted, because he is our Father. He represents his children, you know, just, and the revolt of that was that he's just on the culture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. So true. So trust, that's a big thing for me. With probably the worst trial I went through, I think I told this story. Do you trust me? And he asked me three times, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And then the worst thing that I could think of that could ever happen, happened. And I trust him. I mean, he asked me before it happened, and I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. I got to the point where I was, yeah, why are you asking me three times, Lord? Crying, shouting, speaking in tongues, tears just drenched my clothes. Little did I know that later that day, something really, really awful was going to happen. But you know what? I trust him even more now than I did then.
Oh, yes.
I trust him with everything. If I'm still standing after some of the things that I've been through, who else are you going to trust? You can trust the Lord. The Lord is with you. He is our strength. He's with us through everything. Let's look at the last question. What time is it? Yep, we can do the last question. What situations, okay, so you can be as open or non-open as you want to be. But what situations are you currently facing that seem hopeless? How do you see God silently working to get you through them? You do not have to tell us what you're going through, or you can if you want to. But so think about currently. If you're a Christian, you have a lot of trials. You have a lot of tribulations. Probably a big percentage of us in here are going through something currently. I'll start. I'm going through physical problems, and that was something I got off of Elijah too. I never got sick. I just don't get sick. I didn't my whole life. And little did I know, it was because I have a super duper immune system. So super duper that now it's killing my knee. It's killing me. And so I've never been sick, so I never had sympathy really for people who are sick, because I couldn't understand why aren't they doing everything they can do to keep from getting in a wheelchair. Well, now that's where I am. And so that's something else. God, it's important for us to have sympathy and empathy. Now I have empathy for people who are going through sickness. So that's my story. So he's currently working on me with this right now, because it's been ongoing. And I just started PT, and I can see some improvement. So I'm excited, because God gave me a lot of years where I could be healthy, whereas there's a lot of people, maybe people in here, that didn't have all those years to be able to hike and fight and play pickleball and exercise avidly like I got to. So I just thank God that I had all those years and I got to do all those things with my boys when they were growing up. So anyway, that's my story. Anybody else have a story you'd like to share? And let's try to keep it to two minutes or less. Oh, I didn't know all that was going on up there. How long is that going on? Oh, really? Yeah, there it is. There we go.
Less distracting.
Has that been going on for a long time?
A little bit.
Sorry. My just went to sleep. So. Okay. Anybody have something they'd like to talk about? Cindy.
I struggle with depression, and I have my entire life. But since I moved out here, it seems to really be worse. And I think it's mostly because, for 70 plus years, everything I know and love is in California. And so I'm just, I'm trying to. I'm often depressed because I don't think depression is cool. So I don't like to admit that, you know. And I get into what I call like a black hole. And I'll stay there for a couple of days. You know, also having some physical issues with my legs, my hips, and the back and stuff. So I just have to constant, just like you said, trust in God, pray all the time. And I have to ask other ladies to pray on. Because I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in that black hole. And no, it's like that. Like the out active dupes. But, let's see. Yeah, I think he's silently working for me to learn how to trust him and to depend on him.
Mm-hmm.
And stay focused on him, you know,
and to reach out to others, which we talked about last week and I think the week before too, that some struggles we have to bear on our own. But we've got brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're our family. They're here to help us, right? So don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help, because there's, well, we're two or three gathered together in prayer. There I am in the midst. So, you know, ask for that help, because we can help strengthen each other. And I would like to pray for Cindy right now. Is that okay with you? I'd like to pray. So if anybody wants to lay hands on Sister Cindy, thank you, because you're reaching out. We're going to reach out.
Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, and trust in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, that is there to be sold.
Say you're wrapping girl with your arm.
So anybody else have anything else they'd like to comment on?
We need help. Ruth has a tooth that it has to be fixed. Because she has a piece that wraps around that tooth. And if we don't fix that tooth, she'll lose 8 molars. And so we have a hard time finding a place where she can go, and we have to go out of state to fix it. And then there's a lot of things going on right now because of her physical condition. So I have a kind of like a turmoil inside of me, but the Lord, you see, he resurrected Ruth last year, really from the dead. And I know that there's nothing impossible for the Lord. I know and I trust that there's nothing impossible for the Lord. But the tooth is starting to act up again, so she needs antibiotic again. But she should be in the hospital to have this procedure versus a doctor's office because of the high risk.
Okay.
So we need the Lord to open a way.
Okay.
Where there seems no way.
We're going to pray for Ruth. Anybody who would like to stay here and pray for Ruth, fine, but it is exactly 10:45, and I know some of you have to pick up kiddos, go to the bathroom and stuff like that. So you're dismissed, but anyone who would like to stay here and pray for Ruth's situation, please stay, and thank you. I'll see you all next week.